He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Hear the voice of Sovereign Grace. The Voice of Sovereign Grace is co-hosted by various ministries who, in spite of their differences, all firmly believe in the doctrines of Sovereign Grace. Simply put, these ministries all proclaim the glorious truth that God alone saves sinners, because sinners cannot even help save themselves. Tonight's edition of The Voice of Sovereign Grace is hosted by Pastor Joe Lusardo of Bread of Life Fellowship in Wayne, New Jersey. For more details, visit bolfellowship.org. That's bolfellowship.org. Or call 866-38-BREAD. That's 866-38-BREAD. And now, here's tonight's host, Pastor Joe Lusardo of Bread of Life Fellowship of Wayne, New Jersey.
Before coming to faith in Christ, what is man's condition? Is he dead? Is he sick? Or is he just asleep? Hi, this is Damian Garofalo. I'm here with Pastor Joseph Lusardo of Bread of Life Fellowship in Wayne, New Jersey. Pastor Joe, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked." Does it really mean that we're dead?
Well, definitely. Spiritually, all people apart from Christ are dead. The scripture tells us that the dead man's understanding is darkened, a veil lies over his heart, he can't discern spiritual things, he's under the sway of the wicked one. He believes the philosophies of this world in denial of Scripture. And ironically, this dead man is also proud. He often glories in his intellect. But God's assessment of this man is that his foolish heart is darkened. He's desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. He loves darkness. He delights in sin. He boasts in iniquity. And he is devoid of life. That is, he is dead.
Wow, so all these things point to the fact that man is utterly helpless before God. But this also points to the fact that salvation must be all of God, correct?
Absolutely, and what is needed is for the God of the resurrection to raise a man from the dead. What's needed for a soul to come to Christ is the exceeding greatness of the power of God as displayed in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave. And without that power, human beings are utterly helpless. And that's what it really means to be saved by grace. Today, if you're listening and you have an interest in the things of God, if you understand the Word of God, if there's a desire to know Christ and to love Christ, it is by the grace of God and the grace of God alone.
Amen. Well, we're going to take you now back into Bread of Life Fellowship, where Pastor Joe preached on Ephesians chapter 2 in a sermon entitled Dead Man Walking. After the message, I'll be back to let you know how you can receive a recording of this entire teaching.
You can open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to examine about 2.5 verses under two headings. The first being dead men. Dead men. The scripture tells us that we were dead in trespasses and sins. We'll talk about what it means to be dead. And then secondly, the second heading from verses 2 and 3, we'll consider how it is that dead men walk. No, they're not zombies, but they are dead men walking. And I could find no better encapsulating title for the text than this, Dead Men Walking. Well, our text today is a truth. One might call it an inconvenient truth, but it is a truth nonetheless over which humanity is self-deceived. And the truth is this: all men outside of Christ are dead in their trespasses and sins. Dead. The word in Greek is nekros. It has no other meaning than to be devoid of life, a corpse. The word does not suggest liable to death. It does not say almost dead. It is not the proverbial man in the hospital who only needs to take his medicine on his deathbed. No, dead, not desperately ill. It does not mean you will die. It is present tense dead. This is more than an inconvenient truth, but an unpleasant truth. And as such, man's deadness usually goes undiagnosed. People are afraid to face it. Churches, pulpits are afraid to face it, afraid to expose it. But if one is going to be saved, one must know what it is they are saved from. We're saved from sin and death. Well, how literal then is this death here? What does it mean? It obviously can't mean physical death, because the same dead men in verse 1 are walking in verses 2 and 3. So the death is literal, but it's not physical. Just like the new birth. Remember when Jesus came to Nicodemus and said, "Nicodemus, don't you know you must be born again?" Nicodemus knew he was literal. He said, "Can a man enter his mother's womb when he's old?" He knew the literalness of that. But what he didn't understand was what Jesus said later. That which is of flesh is flesh, and that which is of spirit is spirit. So it's literal. Likewise, this death that Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2 is literal, but it's spiritual rather than natural. Every man will die physically. Every man is a dying man. We come out of the womb and we begin the lifelong process of dying. But for the unconverted, the unregenerate, the one who has never come to Christ, the one who has never received forgiveness of his sins, though he will die physically, he is already dead spiritually. And that's what Paul is saying, because Scripture's diagnosis of you is dead. Born in sin, conceived in iniquity, D-O-A, dead on arrival. You want proof of that? Look at the world. Look how profoundly miserable the world is. Look how they get tired, constantly looking, constantly seeking to do something new. Tired of one wife, get themselves another wife. The world is constantly seeking after thrills and new adventures. Why? Because they can't stand themselves. They can't live with themselves for a few hours. So they busy themselves. They find something to occupy them. They can't commune with themselves, so they commune with the TV set, or the movies, or the theater, or sports, or vacation. They're constantly running away from dealing with sin, dealing with their sinful selves. That is the measure of man's misery. That is the measure of his sin, and that is the measure of his deadness. Moving on now. Paul describes these dead men as walking. Dead men walking in sin, following after their own selfish lusts and desires. And if you think the report of verse 1 is bad, it gets even worse. Because not only is he dead, but he's enslaved. He's a walking dead. He's enslaved to principles that govern him. Now that sounds a lot like zombies, doesn't it? Listen to Paul's abbreviated description in Ephesians 2. There's a much lengthier one in Romans 1, which I'll get to. But look at here in Ephesians 2, verses 2 and 3. In which you once walked, there you're dead in your trespasses and sin, in which you once walked. By the way, there's how we know Paul's talking about a past act. We know that it's past because he says you once walked. In which you once walked, according to the course, or literally the age of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once lived. And here Paul includes himself in this. Even the great apostle Paul was once dead in his trespasses and sins, living by the course of the world, breathing in the air of the prince of the air, believing his lies. Even Paul. He continues, we all once lived, verse 3, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. In these verses, Paul describes the outworking of what it looks like to be dead in your trespasses and sins. Namely, following the world, following Satan, following the senses, the flesh and mind. The one who is dead in trespasses and sins, the one whom Paul calls a son of disobedience, is influenced by these three powers: the world, Satan, and the flesh. The ungodly course of the world, the prince of the power of the air, who is Satan, and the flesh. You are not the way you are because of your father or your mother or your inner child or your neighborhood. Now, those things do help form us and influence us in certain ways, but ultimately, you don't have to spend years and years of your life delving into your past to find why it is that you overeat, or why it is that you lust, or why it is that you hate, All men sin, and they do so because they're either following the world, Satan, or the flesh. Let's look at these three. These zombies, these dead men walking, are first pulled by the course of this world's principles. They're shaped by the world. The world is opposed to God in every age. You know, there's this idea that people have of a golden age. That's a myth. It was never a golden age. Unholiness has always been the characteristic of the world. It's always it's manifested itself in different ways, but it has always been the course of the world, unholiness. And whatever these ways were, that is how men in that age lived. Whether you go way back into mythology, or superstition, or intellectual enlightenment, or alcoholism, or orchestra and card playing. Wait a minute. Are you saying the orchestra and card playing are sinful? Well, in the age of card playing, in the age where it was of the world to go to the orchestra, where the stream of the world, the course of the world was going that way, then yes, it was. You know, sometimes we read a Puritan or someone from ages past and they're speaking against card playing. We say, oh, he's legalistic. Well, no. That was the manner, that was the course in which the world lived in that age. Today, a deck of cards no longer holds the sway, unless you're addicted to gambling. A deck of cards doesn't hold the sway that it did in that age. People aren't pulled by the course as they were in previous ages. That which characterizes the age may differ. It might be characterized by entertainment, or comedians, or music, or disco dancing, or video games, or internet, or homosexuality and gay marriage, or pornography. The dead man walks in that course. He cannot help but walk in that course. And whatever and wherever it leads, he goes. It's like the dead fish always swims downstream. Dead men always walk in conformity to the reigning sins of that age, whatever they may be. The course of the world. But the Christian doesn't belong to the world, does he? Scripture says that it is crucified to him and he to it. Christ said he overcame the world. Paul commanded, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. But dead men can't do this. They're in bondage to thoughts, in bondage to the opinions of others. They cannot form their own opinions. They're not free. They're dragged by a course. Their opinions are formed by media. Be careful here, brothers and sisters, you who dabble in this. I'll say two words to beware of. Talk radio. Not that. Let me ask you something. Do you think for a moment that, and I only have to mention first names for you who know it. Do you think for a moment that Rush and Sean and O'Reilly are any less worldly? Do you think that they're going to not drag you on their course? It's a different course than the liberal politicians, true. But remember, the course of the world is wide and many go that way. So just a word of warning that you frame your thoughts by Scripture. The only way to which we must conform our thoughts, conform our thinking, is the Bible and the Bible alone. Some will object and say, I believe mankind is inherently good. You hear this from politicians all the time. I believe in the inherent goodness of society. And all they're doing is buttering up their constituency. Listen to the Scripture. Listen to Jeremiah's diagnosis of man's innate goodness. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart of man is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. John tells us in 3:19, men love darkness. Isaiah says they delight in sin. Jeremiah says there's no shame. They don't even know how to blush. And James writes that he boasts in his arrogance. Devoid of life, the one who is apart from Christ, nothing less than hates God, hates Christ. He is the enemy of God, according to Psalm 7:11. He is a child of wrath. And this is true of Pastor Lusardo, Pastor Poss, Deacon John Goski, and worship leader Montezano, and every single one of you. And if you cannot say, yes, but God, then you need to be born again. You need to lay down your weapons and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, accept what He has to say to you and about you, that you are dead in your trespasses and sins, and nothing but a resurrection will bring hope to you. Because if you remain what you are by nature, a child of wrath, that means that you are under the condemnation of God, that you're without God and you're without a hope. You can even be on your best behavior and be nothing less than a lawbreaker. And as a lawbreaker, you're an enemy of God. But doesn't God have mercy? Yes, He does. It came in the person of Christ Jesus. Christ came and He died. He actually, the scripture says, became sin. He knew no sin, but He became sin so that God would judge sin in the body of Jesus Christ on the cross. The wrath of God against the children of wrath has been absorbed by Jesus Christ for those who believe in Him. God's wrath is satisfied. And God takes children of wrath by nature, and He gives them a new nature. He recreates them. He gives them a new life. He makes them a son. And He makes them a co-heir. And He seats them in the heavenly places. If you don't know Jesus Christ, if you're trusting in anything other than His perfect life and His redeeming death, then you are, in the words of Scripture, condemned already. You are dead in your trespasses and sins, and you're worse than that, you're self-deceived because you don't really think you are. Your problem is one, sin. And in the words of Jesus, unless you repent, you will perish. Come to Christ. Have that veil removed. Be healed of the spiritual blindness. Have that heart of stone taken out and a heart for God put in. Permit His Spirit to breathe upon you. Have your mind renewed by the Word of God. That's the only hope that you have. A resurrection. You being dead. What other hope is there? And that's Paul's message. Paul's one message. It is death and resurrection. That is the gospel. You were dead, but God had mercy. You were dead, but now you have the gift of eternal life if you will believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe the gospel today. That is the only power of God unto resurrection, salvation. I have 4 points of application in closing. In light of all we've seen here, can anyone say believing the gospel is so easy? All one needs to do is make a decision. Or as I've heard it explained this way, God cast His vote for you, Satan cast his vote against you, and now it's all up to you. That's some people's version of the good news, by the way. God voted for you, Satan voted against you, now it's all up to you. That's supposed to be good news. The good news for you, dead man, is vote. You get to vote, dead man. I don't think so. You know why I don't think so? Because in all the effort that Corzine and Christie are making to become the next governor of this state, the two candidates combined will spend a total of 0 hours campaigning in the morgue. They're not going to get one vote from a dead man, and there's not anyone in the casket who's going to be able to pull that lever. Dead men don't vote. Dead men don't take medicine. Dead men don't open up gifts. Oh, we gave you the gift. All you got to do is open it. Dead men don't reach out for life preservers. All of the human illustrations that have been used to try to explain the gospel, where the final decision falls in man's lap, fail. This whole notion of free will has its death stake right here in one verse of Scripture. And you explain to me how it is possible that the beating of a man's natural heart is God knocking on the door so that if you'll only open it, He'll come in. How is this supposed to happen apart from a resurrection, I ask? What is it that is making this decision? What is it that's responding? Is it the darkened mind? Is it the desperately wicked heart? Is it the wicked self-will that makes the decision? What is it that opens the heart to Christ? You see the absurdity of it? There's one answer. One answer. What is needed for a soul to come to Christ is the exceeding greatness of the power of God as displayed in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that alone. Without such power, human beings are utterly helpless. And that's what it means when the Bible says you have been saved by grace in Ephesians 2:5. That's what it means to be born again, born of God. You see, the sequence of thought continuing from chapter 1 is clear. And it's important that you understand chapter 1 leading into chapter 2. Jesus Christ was dead. God raised him and exalted him. And you also being dead, God raised and exalted. And praise God for grace. For even when we were among the walking dead, he quickened us to life with Christ. So I pray the application as you share the gospel. Brothers and sisters, that you would share the whole gospel. Not that God loves you, not that God died for you, but that you're a sinner and the wages of sin is death. And then, yes, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. But the true gospel preached will always sober us before it satisfies us. Secondly, some good news here in an otherwise terribly dark verse of Scripture. I find the language of Paul, when he switches from the you to the we, to be very hopeful. I'm so glad that he does this, because the we includes Paul. Paul, the hater and really murderer of Christians. Paul, by his own admission in 1 Timothy 1, a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man. Yet he continues in 1 Timothy 1, verse 15, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. However, for this reason, I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life." You know what that means? Paul is the pattern for the worst of men. The deadest of men. It means that there's no one without hope of being saved. There is no one, there's no such thing as being too dead. That person who you're praying for, who you think least likely to come to Christ, your dad, your mom, your husband, your sister, your brother, your co-worker. The good news is all he needs is a little puff of the breath of God, the wind of God to blow by him one day. But you say, they're so lost. They love their sin. They love their darkness. They mock Christ. Well, such was Paul, and such were you. But God, you see the hope of death here? There's a hope in death. I'll tell you something. I have more hope. More hope in a dead man being resurrected by God than I ever will of my stubborn, willful family or friends will ever, on the act of their own free will, make a decision to change their minds. Think about that husband of yours. If you had to rely on his free will, could he ever be saved? Paul was a hopeless case, but God arrested Paul on his way to kill Christians nonetheless. And that's what it means to be saved by grace.
Well, there's a lot more to this message that we could not put on the air, but if you'd like to listen to it in its entirety, you can find it online at our website or at sermonaudio.com. Just look for the sermon called Dead Man Walking. If you'd like for us to send you a free CD of this message, send us an email at info@bolfellowship.org or visit our website, www.bolfellowship.org. You can also call us toll-free at 1-866-38-BREAD. That's 1-866-38-BREAD. Be sure to leave your mailing information, and we'll be happy to send that to you. That's 1-866-38-BREAD. Again, look for it online or ask for it by name, Dead Men Walking. We'd also like to take this opportunity to invite you to our Lord's Day worship service this Sunday at 11:30 a.m. We meet at Calvary Gospel Church, which is located at 1559 Hamburg Turnpike, in Wayne, New Jersey. If you'd like more information and directions, please visit our website, www.bolfellowship.org. Until next time, this is Damian Garofalo along with Pastor Joseph Lissardo and the entire Bread of Life Fellowship Church exhorting you to keep listening to God's voice of sovereign grace.
In the 10th chapter of John's Gospel, Jesus tells us, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life." Have you heard the voice of Christ, the Good Shepherd, calling you to himself through tonight's broadcast? If so, take up your cross and follow him. Thank you for listening to tonight's edition of The Voice of Sovereign Grace, which was sponsored by Bread of Life Fellowship of Wayne, New Jersey. For more details, visit bolfellowship.org. That's bolfellowship.org, or call 866-38-BREAD, 866-38-BREAD. That's 866-38-BREAD. For a list of all the ministries who co-host The Voice of Sovereign Grace, visit voiceofsg.org. That's voiceofsg.org. We hope you tune in every week to The Voice of Sovereign Grace.